Welcome back to His Time on Worldwide KFUO. And as we're going to continue our little experiment with how best to study the scriptures together during this first hour of the day, we're going to dig back in again to some Ezekiel this morning. Remember, you have this tool at your disposal that's in your hymnal, and also you got several ways to make it easier coming out of Concordia Publishing House. And this tool is a daily set of readings called a lectionary, a lectio. It's connected to the Latin word for to speak out loud, I believe, to read aloud. And it was a way that the ancients would set in line the scriptures so that they could get big chunks of it day after day. And you get this in the church service as well, right? You probably have heard your pastor talk about the lectionary readings, right? And so every week there is a series of, actually it's four readings, but usually we only read three of them. There's also an appointed psalm for the day. And it comes with more than that. It comes with this thing called the introit, which is a psalm set to some other text that's supposed to be sung and comes from the introduction of the service. It was the old opening hymn way back in the day. You got this thing called the gradual. Anyway, all of this is a way that the ancient church was trying to help you have all the scriptures in your life over the course of your life. Not just kind of leave it up to you to pick and choose what scripture you want to find, right? I mean, we do have favorite passages. There's nothing wrong with that. But because of our sinful flesh, the way we tend to like veer into those things which we like and kind of stay away from those things that would, I don't know, might call us to repentance, it's a good idea to have something which kind of just makes you look, makes you put your nose down into those other parts of the Bible that you didn't really plan to go to. And I'll tell you, there's a part of the Bible I don't plan to go to too often. It's the book of Ezekiel. It's not because it's a bad book. It's just because it's tough. It's a thick book. And the text today is actually pretty clear, but much of it's not so clear. You need a lot of historical background to help with it. Anyhow. So you got this daily lectionary, and it's a one more way that the church has given us to have the scriptures, and it's not just during the church service now, but every day of the week. And it's printed as a series of text you can look up in your hymnal on page 299. You can go check. I promise it's right there. And then you have these other resources like the Treasury of Daily Prayer and the Pray Now app, which is what I use when I'm doing the New Testament reading. And right now, looking at this Old Testament reading, I'm using that on my iPad to be able to just kind of, it's really cool. It pops open right to the day. You don't have to fumble with pages or anything like that. It gives you the text. And you can get through the whole thing by yourself in, oh, I don't know, I think it would probably take you about 10 minutes. But still, that's a pretty cool deal. So anyhow, we're going to dig into it a little bit here, at least for a while, messing with some of these Old Testament texts that parallel often that New Testament text that we use in the daily lectionary study later in the morning at the 8 o'clock hour. And that is coming up today as well. But so yesterday we had some Ezekiel, the watchman, being called to give warning and to give heed. And remember the good news of this? That God's going to do what God's going to do, that his work is going to work no matter what we do. And if we decide to not care about that work, well, we can detach ourselves from it. But at the same time, that word's going to have its impact and its effect. And so rather than detach ourselves, just being under it and like letting it be what it is, such a marvelous freedom to know that if the whole world rejects the church, it really doesn't matter. You know, you've heard who Jesus is, and the world despises you for this. They string you up. Doesn't matter. You know who Jesus is, and it is true. It's going to have its impact both in terms of your trust. In that day when you're being persecuted, the Spirit will not let you slide. It will be enlivened by these words you've heard preached and spoken and read. And then especially on that last day, you'll hear his voice saying, "Wake up, faithful servant." You'd be like, "What? I'm not faithful." He'd be like, "Yes, you are. I've been telling you this your whole life. Wake up. Wake up. You're alive. You're mine," right? So that's the watchman. Now, in Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 1 to 24, and I doubt we'll get through all of this. We'll get through some of it. Now, that other edge of his concern with the watchmen who are not blowing the trumpet, who are not warning the people of the danger, he's gonna bring more of that to bear with a condemnation of the shepherds, which is really the word pastor. I don't know if you know this. The word pastor is a word just means shepherd, which Old Testament style does have connection to prophets and also has connection to kings. I always kind of joked when I was in the parish, you guys think it'd be, you know, it's too much authority to call me Father Fisk, right? But you call me King Fisk all the time. You don't even know it. Ha ha ha. I got you there, right? There's also the idea that the pastor and the shepherd is one who would, as Jesus says to Peter, feed the sheep, right? Feed my lambs to give care. And that's what a king in all truth should do. That's what David did, the shepherd of Israel, protected and cared for his flock. And what God is going to bring against these prophets of Old Testament Israel is that they have ceased ruling, reigning, and caring for the flock by means of his word. And they've replaced his word, which is the way that God reigns. When we say thy kingdom come, we mean let your word reign among us. They've replaced his word with their own dreams, visions, and ideas. The word of the Lord came to me. Ezekiel 34, verse 1. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds of Israel, thus says the Lord God. Ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves. Should not the shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth with none to search or seek for them. Now, this isn't just about the king not really protecting the people from the sword of the nations around them. This is about the priests, the prophets, and the kings not preaching the real word of God so that when those false prophets of the world around them, the nations and cities, the Philistines, you know them, when they came in, bringing their sword and their attack, they also brought their gods. And the people began to think, wow, those gods have power. And they set up the high places and the Asherah poles, and they even began to offer their children as sacrifices in the fire. They were scattered. They did not have the protection which God had given them, which he'd promised to them in that old covenant. I mean, that old covenant was a gem of a this-age temporal life blessing. And it had been taken away by these shepherds who fed themselves with their own dreams and ideas, which of course always leads to the tickling passions of the flesh. I'm sure they were actually stealing. You know, you remember the sons of, Eli, who were taking the extra portions out of the pot of the sacrifices for themselves, sticking in a big fork and pulling it out and saying, this portion is for the Lord. And then they'd go home and they'd have a feast. Therefore, you shepherds, verse 7, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely, because my sheep have become a prey and my sheep have become food for all the wild beasts, since there was no shepherd, and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but my shepherds have fed themselves and have not fed my sheep. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the sheep, shepherds, feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths that they may not be food for them. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. I'm almost in tears here. Pause just for a moment. I apologize. This is gospel, people. This is good news, right? Every man given God's word to preach it will fail. Every man will one time or another slide into his preferred way of thinking. And what's being demonstrated here is that God cannot leave the salvation of mankind in mankind's hands, but must decide himself to come down and rescue us. That's why the good shepherd, right, who comes and accuses all of Israel's Pharisees and Sadducees, the teachers of the law, the Levites, all that, says these are hirelings. They don't care about the sheep, not the way I do. But the good shepherd, what's he do? And really, what's he do? Does he just come down and like hang out with the sheep on the grassy plains? Relax in the sunny afternoon sun while the breeze blows through his long streaming hair and big smile, big golden braces made smile across his teeth? No! The good shepherd sees the wolf coming, huh? And he stands between the wolf and the sheep. And he takes that rod and the staff, which are the comfort from Psalm 23. Remember that? His rod and his staff are a comfort to me. Well, why? Because he's going to beat the heck out of the wolf with it. That's why. He takes that rod and that staff and he smacks that wolf upside the head so that his head is crushed. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, with the wolf's jaw stuck in his heel, nails and spikes piercing him, holding him on that cross. The wolf's head is crushed as the Lord God fulfills what he said here in Ezekiel, I myself will seek out, search for my sheep. Now, this doesn't mean that it's okay to be a false prophet. It doesn't mean that if you have God's word, don't worry about a little error here and there. Remember, the same guy says a little leaven leavens the whole lump. I mean, you want to keep in the repentant view of Scripture, coming back to be corrected by it. And that is what he's accusing these of not doing. But the gospel in this is that God doesn't let false teachers actually get away with it. He doesn't even let the false teacher within yourself get away with it. He comes to call you to repentance, to bring you back. But there is then here a strong word of warning for all who would set themselves up to teach. And really, all Christians must teach in one way or the other. I mean, you got the official ministry. You got what the pastors do, right? You got what fathers are commanded to do and mothers right there with them. But you teach when you talk to your friends, you know, the consolation of the brethren, that's teaching too. And you have to. We have to confess our Lord Jesus before mankind. And here's the warning. Don't confess what you think. Confess what he says. Confess his word, right? Just like the proverb was telling us before. Set your heart, attend to, seek for, hunger for, treat it as silver, his word. And be not distracted by these pretensions of our flesh, of our hearts, of our minds, our dreams, as the American world is so keen on seeking out these days. Follow your heart, it says. Jeremiah reminds us the heart is deceptive above all things. Who can understand it? But as you fear the false prophet, as you pray you would not become the false prophet, as you say, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, don't forget. I myself, he says, will seek out my sheep. And you're one of his sheep. That's what baptism is. That's what it's done to you. I myself will seek my sheep. I, verse 22, will rescue my flock. They shall no longer be a prey. I will judge between sheep and sheep, and I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David. And he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God. And my servant David shall be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. When God says that, when he says, I have spoken, when he says, thus says the Lord, he's got to know that means it's happening. Like there ain't no going back. Huh? Let there be light. There was light. Let there be fish. There were fish. I'm going to send somebody born of the line of David to be king. Jesus comes, born of the Virgin Mary. It gets better. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you of all your sins. You're forgiven. Take and eat. This is my body. This is my blood. They are. They are. You have seen the salvation of the Lord, and no matter what else may come, you can know you may depart in peace.